You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings fans, happy Wednesday and happy game day. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show, and as always, pleased to be here talking to you all about the Los Angeles Kings and whatever they've got coming up next. And what they have coming up next is a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, last time these two teams met, the Kings had a very feel-good win. They looked good. They felt good. Carl Grundstrom looked good. Trevor Moore scored a goal. It's like everyone came back to Toronto and was like, hey, sweet, this is awesome. Well, we've got a chance for another player to do that as well. Sean Durzi has been up and down a little bit. He was called up for a game, didn't play, sent back to the AHL, did amazing in a game against the Stockton Heat. I think he had like 3 points or something. He just was dominant overall. He has been called back up now to the Kings and is looking to get in to the roster to crack the lineup tonight against the Maple Leafs, which is, of course, the team that drafted him. So I'm excited to see that. He's been a favorite player of mine, and he is something to look forward to. And we're going to see what happens. On today's show, we're actually talking with Mikey DiStefano, host of Locked on Leafs, to learn a little bit more about what is in store for this game tonight, what's changed, what have the Leafs been up to since we saw each other last. So without further ado, let's hear right now from Mikey DiStefano from Locked on Leafs. The Kings' next opponent is the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are probably coming into LA hoping for a better outcome than the last time these two teams met. On today's show, we're talking with host of Locked on Leafs, Mikey DiStefano, here to let us know what to expect in this game. So last time we saw the Leafs, the Kings came away with a pretty feel-good, exciting win for the Kings, not so great for the Leafs. What has been up with the Leafs since we last met?
Well, actually, they've gone on an absolute tear since
sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, they came into that game riding a 5-game winning streak, and then they rattled off a 5-game win streak after that. And then they did lose this weekend to Pittsburgh, but then won the other night in New York to kind of maybe the start of another 5-game winning streak. We'll see. But it's a team that really is playing, they're red hot right now. They're winners of 11 of their last 13, one of those blemishes coming against your LA Kings. And, you know, the Kings outplayed Toronto that night. They really did. I felt that they really did a good job of playing the type of game that, you know, kind of can stifle Toronto at times. They didn't play their game. Also, Jack Campbell lit in a couple of softies, but Phil Deneau is known as the Leaf Killer, and he did his job, that's for sure, the other night. So, you know, I think Toronto is hoping that they can finally find the antidote for said Phil Deneau.
What do you think the reason has been for this Leafs team being so up and down? I mean, I know at the beginning of the season it was rough enough that I was starting to hear, you know, is it time for the coach to be fired, like kind of stuff from different parts of the internet. And I think we all know Leafs Twitter is a whole thing unto itself. But what do you think is behind this?
Well, they've been playing a lot better as of late. And I think, funny enough, the style of game that they've played is more structured, more defensive. They're kind of trying to go away from the high-scoring, high-octane offense. They're not cheating for offense anymore. They want to create offense through really strong defense, and that seemed to have worked over the last little bit. You know, we're seeing a lot of unders hit for those betting fans over at Bet Online. You know, they're winning games 2-1, 3-0, 2-1. You know what I mean? So it's been a really low scoring. So that's kind of been the recipe for success. But in terms of, you know, when the Leafs were struggling early on, it was a combination of things. It was they weren't really playing all that well. A, B, Austin Matthews missed the first couple of games and then wasn't all himself, I would say. Still probably, you know, getting up to speed after missing all of training camp. And at the same time, Mitch Marner wasn't playing well at all. And you know, the possession metrics and the analytics showed that it was a team that should have had, you know, a better fate in some games, but, you know, they were getting goalied a couple of times and just not burying on a lot of chances that they had. The expected numbers were heavily in Toronto's favor for a lot of the season, and they actually lead the NHL in a lot of expected goal stats, goal categories and whatnot. But, you know, and then they finally eventually started to go in as they started to win some games. Tavares and Neil and Mitch Marner really got going. Marner playing at an elite level of hockey. He really hasn't dropped off since he finally picked things up towards the end of October. And then, you know, everyone else is just kind of chipping away, getting some offense. But like I said, it's been more so just the fact that they're willing to play kind of a shut it down, you know, structured defensive game. And they're trying to create offense out of good defense. And it seemed to have worked the last few weeks here.
Well, you do have a couple of our old friends on the team. You've got Jake Muzzin and Jack Campbell, and Kings fans still love both of them. Muzzin, of course, on the Stanley Cup teams. Jack Campbell, just impossible to not like. What have they both been up to? What's life like for them this year in Toronto?
Oh, let me tell you. Kyle Clifford back in the organization as well.
That's right.
Yeah, they picked him up about a week ago. For I think it's just like future considerations or something like that. He's down in the Marlies, but I anticipate that he'll end up back with the Maple Leafs at some point here. But in terms of Jack and Jake, I mean, boy, have these two ever been godsends for this team. You know, Jake Muzzin is just a stabilizing force as a defensive defenseman. You know, he was one of those guys early on who wasn't playing up to his standard, but he's somewhat turned his season around too. I think it was just someone who's a little bit older took him a few weeks to really get going into the season, but he seems to be in midseason form. He's playing really, really good hockey right now. But Jack Campbell, oh my God, this guy is just something else. I mean, he was not expected to get this big of a workload. I'm pretty sure he started more games than anybody else in the NHL so far. And it was supposed to be a tandem, but Peter Mrazek, who was a new player that the Leafs had signed from Carolina, signed him to a long-term deal, or a three-year deal, I suppose. So I guess midterm, but anyways, signed him to a multi-year, multi-million dollar extension or contract to come in and be a tandem with Campbell. He lasted 40 minutes in his debut with the Maple Leafs, and he got hurt, came back for one game, and re-aggravated that same groin injury that he had injured himself. So Jack Campbell's really had to be the guy, and he has just done that, and he has run away with that job. He's leading like every single goaltending statistical category there is in the NHL right now. Goals against, save percentage, goalie point share, goal saved above average, all of it. Jack Campbell's up at the top of the rankings. It is absolutely outstanding. This guy has been, for as amazing as he is a person off the ice, and your listeners will know this, he is an amazing human being off the ice. He's been even better on the ice, which is just crazy to even suggest, but it truly is what's been happening. I mean, he's got himself back into Olympic contention.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I feel like looking at the Jack Campbell who, you know, made an impact at World Juniors and then saw his career just kind of tailspin for a while, the fact that he is in the conversation for the Olympics, I feel like it feels really good. He's not even on the Kings anymore, and I just feel so proud of him
Did you ever expect?
No.
I mean, who could have expected this? Nobody. Yeah. I don't even think the Dallas Stars, when they drafted him 10th overall, oh, so many years ago, expected this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's legitimately a Vezina front runner at this point.
Yeah, it's something to see. And I'm sure that Kings fans, you know, seeing their own struggles kind of in net with, you know, heir apparent Cal Peterson not doing so hot this season. I'm sure that there is some group of Kings fans mad about the fact that, you know, Jack Campbell went to Toronto, but you just have to feel excited for him to be there. He's a guy who, you know, 80 games out of the year, I'm rooting for him. 2 games out of the year, I'm like, you can have a bad night, that's all right. But, you know, every other game, you know, I'm looking out for him.
Well, he did have a bad, like the game against LA, like it wasn't great. There was a couple of goals I'm sure he really would want back. I mean, there was, you know, Trevor Moore just kind of barreled in on him. You know, if Deneau got a couple of goals on him, there were some goals that he probably wishes that he could take back. And I'm thinking that this matchup Wednesday night with the Leafs and Kings, I'm thinking that Jack Campbell, it'll be his chance to get revenge from what they did the other night in Toronto.
We've got more with Mikey coming up right after this. But first, Built Bar is here for you in your time of need. And your time of need is the holidays, because the holidays have a lot of, like, waiting around time while you're waiting for a meal, while you're waiting for someone to bring out the dessert. And you never want to get hangry. You never want to be sitting there getting frustrated because it's not pie time yet. So why not have a Built Bar to help keep you satisfied while you're waiting for the big day? Built Bars are great for you. They're covered in 100% chocolate, so they're also tasty. They are low in calories, low fat, low carbs, low sugar, high protein, and really just all around great products. Built Bar always has limited edition flavors available, and I'm hearing a little bird tell me that there is something big happening for Built Bar Black Friday, so keep an eye out for that this week. You can go to built.com and check out all of the varieties available. Get ready to bring some home for stocking stuffers or just eat them all yourself. That's cool too. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to check them all out and get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I will turn it over to you. What questions do you have about the Kings? I know, like, we just met not that long ago, but what do you need to know going into this game?
Well, so a couple of things that I do want to ask. I mean, the Kings that I think are surprising a lot of people. I don't think they were expected to be competing as much as they are so early on in the year. I mean, you could look at a lot of this and say it's Kopitar kind of finding the youth, but what has been the biggest surprise for the Kings so far this season that's led to their success?
For me, one of the biggest surprises is looking at the blue line, because the Kings defense, no one really thought anything good about it. And then very early in the season, Drew Doughty gets hurt, and then Sean Walker gets hurt. Doughty is skating, but he's not ready to come back yet. Walker is out for the season. And so both of those things happened, and everyone was like, well, crap. Like, let's, I guess, look at the guys who are going to be top in the draft this year, I suppose. And instead, they've actually kind of pulled it together. They brought on Alex Edler over the offseason as sort of intended to be kind of your veteran defenseman, your sixth, seventh guy who maybe doesn't play every night. And instead, he is playing way bigger minutes than he was expected to, and is, you know, most games I don't notice him, which is what you want from a defenseman like Alex Edler. And he's been really good for the young guys on the team. The younger guys are having some growing pains. Both Toby Bjornfoot and Mikey Anderson, the youngest defenseman on the team, had just a real awful night the other night against Carolina. But it was kind of a blip in what's overall been a really good breakout season for these two young guys. People are basically stepping up in the absence of Doughty and Walker, who both eat a ton of minutes. And, you know, is the defense amazing? Like, if I pick them up and put them on, you know, a top contending team, things would be different. But they're outperforming, I think, Kings fans expectations. And it hasn't been as bad, I think, as anyone thought it would be, which is a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard that Drew Doughty was out, I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, well, there goes the Kings season. So unfortunate. But yeah, it seems like they've been able to kind of rally and you know, looks like they've won 6 of their last 10 games, and they're playing some decent hockey right now. They're on a big win streak not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It seems like all of the California teams are going on win streaks. It's no longer going to be an easy California trip like it somewhat used to be for the last couple of seasons. You know, the Maple Leafs are in tough. They got L.A. coming in, and then they've got San Jose Friday night and Anaheim on Sunday. No longer any gimme games like they're kind of used to be the last couple of years. When it comes to the deployment of Andre Kopitar, a lot has been made about his offensive success being as a result of, you know, being able to deploy him in a more offensive role. Speak to how Phil Deneau and bringing him in has kind of allowed the Kings to do that, which has poised them for the amount of success that they've had so far early this season.
Well, one of the greatest things about Deneau is, you know, first off, people are like, well, you don't sign Phil Deneau to score goals, which is true, but he has also been putting them in at kind of a rate that people didn't expect from him, which is really great to see. He is so reliable in all three zones. You can put Phil Deneau out there at any time and you can know, you know what, this guy has it covered. You know, in past seasons, sometimes Kopitar was the only guy on the team who could reliably win a faceoff. And especially as Jeff Carter got a little worse and older, and then got traded. And of course, now he's in Pittsburgh and is doing pretty well. So that's life for Kings fans. But a big thing is that Danault is out there taking critical faceoffs. He's taking time away from Kopitar in situations that otherwise he would be playing in you know, the worst possible situations you could put him in. I think the other night Danault was like 8 for 10 or something in the faceoff dot, and that's a great sign to be able to put someone out there and know, okay, you're probably going to come away with the puck on this. He has really kind of freed up Kopitar to not have to take every single hard defensive assignment, because that is essentially what Kopitar has been doing over the past several years in his career, and now he doesn't necessarily have to. He got off to a great start in scoring the first handful of games of the season. He's slowed down a little bit, but I think, you know, the whole team is sort of, you know, the team isn't as good as they were in that, you know, very first game of the season against Vegas where they crushed them. They're not as bad as they are in some of these other games, so they're still kind of figuring out where the team is. But Danault has really taken a ton of that pressure off of Kopitar and has been able to get him out there in more offensive situations than just we need Kopitar to save the game. Going to finish things out with a few more thoughts from Mikey on Locked On Kings. But first, it is, of course, Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Hockey. No, wait, football. It's football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and also betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, of course, remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. So head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. And of course, it isn't just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops. Of course, we've got hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So check it out, betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, they're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving.
What have been some of the surprise young guys who've come up and have played pretty well? I know Kaliev's played a good portion of the season, Rasmus Kupari, Tobias Bjornfot. You know, who of these young guys do you see some real potential from out of for your LA Kings?
So Kaliev definitely has, I mean, probably the most potential of this group of Kings rookies, just in terms of sheer scoring ability. I think the team is still trying to figure out what to do with him. They don't quite know how to use him. I think that everyone knows defense isn't necessarily his greatest skill. He looks better at it than I think people had expected, but still, you're not going to put him out there. And, you know, if he gets scored on, you're not going to be surprised. So they're still trying to find the right place to put him on the power play, and the power play is bad anyway. So, you know, that it's kind of a struggle. But he is someone who every time I watch him, I'm like, all right, he has it. He just has to put the whole game together. Rasmus Kupari has been a huge surprise. Largely because of how quickly he acclimated to playing at this level. He's looked great at the NHL level or at the AHL level, and then has played a handful of NHL games here and there. But you know, you kind of wondered how ready is he, especially playing down the middle. But he has come in and has really looked like a natural. I think that a lot of his success kind of rises and falls with the people on his wings, and that's a work in progress too. But I've been really impressed what I see from him, and he's a guy who's making the case to not have to go back to Ontario whenever more guys on the front end are healthy. And then the other one I wanted to point out real quick is Cale Clegg on the blue line. He is someone who, you know, he has been with the system for a long time. Last year he ran out of waiver eligibility, so he has to pass through waivers to get to the AHL. He's passed through several times without incident. People thought he was going to get selected by Seattle. Basically, all of the top hockey analyst people expected that Clegg was going to be who got picked. Instead, the Avalanche or the Kraken made more perplexing decisions. But he so, you know, Cale Clegg remained with the Kings, and he is now getting an opportunity in the absence of Doughty and Walker that he has never had on this team before. And he is getting to quarterback the first power play unit, and he is getting to get bigger minutes and more responsibility. And suddenly, the prospect that we all knew had it in him to make it at this level is suddenly showing through, because he's, you know, A, the Kings don't have many other options. They're like, well, we got to go with this guy. And he's really kind of, it's paying off. It's not his fault that the power play is bad. I think he has looked good out there. It's just everyone likes to pass the puck and not shoot it, but he is someone who I feel very proud of him because I've watched him since he was drafted and we all knew that he could do it, but he just wasn't getting the chance. So I'd keep an eye out for him on the blue line too.
You know, every time you say Ontario, I always have to stop for a second. Always had to stop because for a second I'd be like, wait, Kaliev's still junior eligible? I'm thinking that in my head, thinking sending him back to the Ontario Hockey League. And then I remember, oh, the Ontario.
Yeah, the other Ontario, which also gets hockey players too. I feel like anytime you talk to any guy who's sent there and doesn't know anything about it, they're like, I thought I was going to Canada. You're like, nope. No, you're not, bud.
That's funny. That is pretty, pretty funny. Instead of asking you, you know, kind of the key to victory for the Kings, I'm going to pose a question in this way. When the LA Kings are playing at their height, when they're playing their best, they're doing blank.
Ooh, that's a nifty question. You know, I think that it is when they're playing their best, they are playing their game, which I feel like sounds like the most cliche, horrible hockey person answer. But we saw, so they just lost to the Coyotes because of course they did, because why not? And the big reason that they lost was they started playing down to the Coyotes. They let the Coyotes dictate the game. And you're not, of course they're going to win that way. They slow the game down. They get the puck to guys like Phil Kessel and suddenly, you know, you're losing. And I think that for them to be playing well, they have to go out with that confidence that we know who we are. We know what we're doing. We know our identity and play the Los Angeles Kings game, not the Carolina Hurricanes game or the Toronto Maple Leafs game or whatever it is Arizona's doing. And so I think that that would be what I would say for that is they need to focus on playing the way that they are supposed to be playing and not trying to fit into what the opponent is trying to do and to really force the game back into what they know that they're good at. They have guys, they have a lot more skill on the roster than they have the past few years. The past few years have been a lot of guys who, if you look them up now, they're playing in the AHL on other organizations. They're not necessarily NHLers. So there's a lot more skill. There are a lot more guys who can be creative with the puck, and it's just letting them do that and not trying to play some sort of weird grinded out game or anything.
Yeah. If I recall in the last game that the thing that I believe, which kind of caught Toronto off guard most was kind of just the speed through the neutral zone and the way that they're able to kind of zip past the Toronto defenseman and take pucks hard to the net. And I think Toronto, if they can try and limit that and not give them that type of space and not allow them to get past them, that I believe is kind of going to be the key to success for the Maple Leafs, you know, just based on what killed them last time, right? Mm-hmm. Neutralize that threat. So that's kind of what I'll be seeing if, you know, by watching the tape, hopefully they realize and they learn from that and they'll be able to try and stifle Los Angeles and their speed and their skill guys like Athanasiou, who was all over the place in the last game, who made he made a lot of noise. You know, obviously Phil Deneau made some noise as well. And Trevor Moore, even it seems like that's the only game he made some noise in, but that's the one he did. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wakes up tomorrow and chooses to be, you know, the best Trevor Moore he could possibly be when going up against the Maple Leafs. Cause that's just seems to be how things always work, right? Everyone always wakes up to play the former team. You're a former Leaf, a former Hab, a former Vegas Golden Knight. Oh wait, they've only been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah.
And have two but no, it's so true though. Every team always, or every player always wants to kind of get back at the team that didn't give them the opportunity or didn't let them go. So although LA Kings fans may not be weary of Trevor Moore and the amount of success that he could have in this game against the Maple Leafs, Leaf fans are. Leaf fans certainly are, because he was able to kind of get the party going last time early and it kind of stumbled from there. So, yeah, Leaf fans definitely will be we'll have an eye on Trevor Moore, as I'm sure you'll have an eye on Jake Muzzin and Jack Campbell.
Yep. Campbell's going to love every stop he gets against any of these guys. He's going to love it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It should be a fun one. I feel like the last game was fun, probably less fun for you, but it was a nice chance to get to see the Kings playing against a team that I know is a good team and that is, you know, very high octane, and they still put the puck in the net. And I was like, oh, they can hang with this team. Okay, cool.
Yeah, totally. I mean, do you see the Los Angeles Kings as a playoff team, or do you think that they'll eventually kind of start to fall back a little bit?
My take on them since the offseason, and I'm still holding to it, is that they're a bubble team. I think that they can, you know, threaten for a wild card spot. I mean, my bold prediction at the beginning of the season was they will make the playoffs, but, you know, I'll ease back on that a little bit. But I think that they can hang in there, especially because, you know, I don't know how sustainable the success is that Anaheim is having. San Jose has been up and down. You know, Edmonton, we know what Edmonton is. They're going to be good because they have Connor McDavid. Like, they could have no goalie and they'll still be good. So I think that they will be in play for a wild card spot, knock on wood, unless anything else goes catastrophically wrong, which it's the Kings. So maybe.
All right, Sarah, I really appreciate you joining me, and let my viewers and listeners know where they could find your work.
All right, so you can find Locked On Kings, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, at Locked On LA Kings on Twitter. I also co-host the Wednesday edition of Locked On NHL, where we talk about all sorts of Western Conference topics. So if you want to keep up with what is going on the other side of the map, you can find that at Locked On NHL, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much to Mikey for talking on Twitter. On Twitter, that's not Twitter. Thank you so much to Mikey for talking on the show with me. If you want to hear more from him, make sure you go find Locked On Leafs wherever you get your podcasts. It's also at Locked On Leafs on Twitter, so keep up with what is going on with, you know, our buds Jack Campbell and Jake Muzzin. We'll be back tomorrow, actually, with a special Thanksgiving show. I know that, you know, many of you are Canadian or not American or just not into Thanksgiving, and I am glad to be helping you have something to listen to on your day off. So we'll have a little bit tomorrow as well here on the show. So keep an eye out on the Kings tonight. See what happens with Sean Durzi. I'm excited to see him play. I've loved him this year at the AHL level. He's really progressed in his game, and I think he can make an impact. Unfortunately, it seems to be coming at the expense of Cale Clegg, who was practicing kind of on the outside, it looked like. But we'll see. We'll see what happens when the buzzer starts or whatever the saying is. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends all about it and come back tomorrow and every day of the week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.